Hello and welcome to Arch Eats. My name is George Mahey and my co-host today and always is...
Cheryl Bear. Good to see you, George.
Thank you. Always good to be here. Spring is officially here.
Yes,
so, since that has occurred...
Allegedly.
Yeah.
For now.
Well, it's when we all start thinking about lighter, healthier fare. So, we thought it would be good today to discuss our favorite vegan restaurants in town.
Which is funny because... neither one of us is vegan.
Well, that's true. But it's not going to stop us from opining about...
but we are vegan curious.
And we've been to many vegan restaurants.
Yes, we have.
So that qualifies us. So it's going to be all about vegan restaurants and a little bit about veganism. And we're going to end, as we always do, with a micro rant. And this one is going to be about the term plant-based and how it's being used and exploited.
This episode of Arch Eats, brought to you by Butler's Pantry.
But first, as we always do, we're going to start with what we can't stop thinking about. You've got one. I've got one. We love these. Go ahead.
We do. Well, and mine is, it's more of a place rather than a particular dish. I finally got a chance to try the reinvented Benevolent King. It's still Ben Premba's restaurant, but it began as a Moroccan restaurant. And very recently, he transitioned it to a Japanese restaurant. His chef, Elliot Harris, has been with him for a little while now, has an extensive background in Japanese cuisine. And Ben decided he was going to just kind of turn over the reins of the kitchen to Elliot and let him do what he does best, which is this fantastic Japanese cuisine.
Yeah, he's a great sushi chef.
He's wonderful. He's been around forever. He was at Baiku Sushi Lounge. He was at, oh my goodness, why am I forgetting the name?
Miso.
He was at Miso on Merrimack, which, you know, was, gosh, that was a long-standing spot. But anyway, everything I had was fantastic. This is outstanding food. But the best thing I had, he did an uni and quail egg shooter. That was, it was the most decadent thing I've possibly ever had in my life. You're having that like really rich sea flavored uni that just kind of coats your mouth. And then a quail egg alongside that, you eat it all in one bite. It lingered forever in a very good way. I can't say enough. It's one of the most interesting bites in St. Louis.
Wow. And is this on the menu?
It is on the menu. It's okay. One of their smaller tastings. Highly recommend.
Wow. That's a really unusual sounding dish.
Yes. And it was wonderful.
I revisited a place also called The Bow in Clayton.
Oh, yeah.
And they recently rolled out a new menu and they did have you been there recently? They did a minor facelift and it is really nice. They turn the lights down. They put those little lamps on the tables, the kind that adjust. It is so charming and cozy in there that it's unbelievable. The new menu is outstanding. There's a cow soy. Are you a fan of cow soy
soup? Oh, I love it. I love it. I get it at Fork and Sticks
all
the time.
Okay, and this will rival, if not best, the version. I haven't had the Fork and Sticks one in a while, and I love it. This one is really good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, really good. So put that on your list. Slider-sized bow. It's interesting. They're like $7 to $10 now. They used to be these monster bow that were $10 and $15 a piece, and he wasn't selling them. He was, but then people could only eat one. So he's decided to do these little baby bow, and that's been the secret to the success at the bow is these smaller versions. So you can have a couple, whereas otherwise you just might order one. There's one more item called Don and Nori, which sounds like some couple, right?
Yeah.
It's sashimi that served on Japanese rice with some added goodies, and it's served with nori, so you use it to make a hand roll. And it's either spicy tuna or spicy lobster or the combination that they call yin-yang. And just go with the yin-yang because it's the only way to go.
Wow.
And so it's Don and Nori. And the Don part, I had to ask about this. Donburi, Don for short, is a rice bowl with various toppings.
Okay.
You've learned something that you didn't know.
Yeah, I did. I knew who Nori was, but this Don character was,
Don's
was,
new
was
to
eluding
the, he's new to the play. So that was the thing I couldn't stop thinking about this week. But really, we're here to talk about vegan places, vegan restaurants. And I just thought I'd start with introducing Cheryl to something that I really liked. And we've talked about this on a previous podcast. And it's Harvest Shreds, right? And this is a plant-based, sustainable, locally made, shredded, let's say meat alternative. The owner calls it craveable. I really like it. I just had it the other night, and I told you I'd bring you some, and I did. So while you're
I'm going in.
While you're sampling that,
I've been very patient. It smells delicious.
We talked about it before. You can get it at Parker's Table. I think Sysco carries it now, so you're going to start seeing it at some of your local restaurants. It mocks beef very well, and you're going to see more of it, I think, in St. Louis. Again, veganism is here. It's not going anywhere. It's on the rise. One thing we can talk about a little bit is St. Louis Veg Fest, which is held every fall at the World's Fair Pavilion. Have you ever gone to that thing?
I have not, but I've heard it.
It's so much fun.
Crazy.
And it's so eye-opening. They've got 70 vendors and exhibitors there, and you learn all kinds of things, and you'll find all kinds of really good things to eat. It's just a great introduction to veganism. It's their sixth year, St. Louis Veg Fest, at the World's Fair Pavilion. Really highly recommend it, especially if you're curious about veganism. And the other thing that I didn't know about that I just found out about, the St. Louis Vegan Chef Challenge. Now, this is something that happens all over the country, and I didn't know about it, and it just happened in March.
Huh.
And what happens is they solicit restaurants. There are 18 restaurants that participated, and each one of them made a vegan dish or two and publicized it, and the public comes in and votes on their favorite. And the thing about it is, most of these 18 restaurants are not vegetarian or vegan
restaurants.
Okay,
that's what I was curious if they took some of our vegan.
So these restaurants are encouraged to keep these items on their menu long after this chef challenge occurs. So that's something that, again, this is happening all over the country. My point is, veganism is here. There's all kinds of, if you look it up, there's all kinds of ways to participate in it. But most importantly, how is Harvest Shreds?
Really, really good. I wasn't concerned about the taste. I could tell the way it smelled that it was going to taste delicious.
Because you're a professional.
Of course, obviously. Well, and it just had such this like depth to it that I was really excited about. And he's done this in like a Korean bulgogi style. So soy and decent little spice to it. I think he said a little bit of molasses in there as well.
Yeah. And this was his neutral flavor, which I think he calls naked. Which a chef can do anything they want with. There's also a bulgogi pre-made or pre-seasoned, I should say. He makes a Mexican one, a barbecue one, but the naked one is the one you can do the most too.
What I was thinking about this was it's not so much the taste, which is delicious, but it's the texture. You know, I feel like a lot of times with kind of meat alternatives and stuff, they just don't get the texture right. And this actually has like the chew that you would want.
That's exactly what I thought. And I'm glad you like it because actually I just had some the other night in a taco salad. It was delicious.
Yeah, so, no, that sounds good.
So
like
that's Harvest Shreds, but again, we're getting off on a tangent. But I do want to mention what Karen Dugan has been doing. Karen Dugan is STL Veg Girl, for those that don't know. She's been preaching about plant-based living since 2008. And she started this place called the Center for Plant-Based Living in Kirkwood. And she's been, you know, she's touted the wisdom of a plant-based diet for years and years. But what is new that I just learned from her is that lifestyle medicine is now a boarded practice. What does that mean? It means those doctors can be board certified like other specialties. And if you have an opportunity, get a board certified doc because they know more. They've been tested more. In other words, this thing is coming of age. Veganism is coming of age, as is lifestyle medicine. So the point is, traditional doctors are treating high blood pressure and diabetes by prescribing pills, right? But the world is figuring out that food is medicine. So these lifestyle medicine doctors are prescribing a plant-based diet, and they're effectively unprescribing pills.
It's a huge thing. And I think one thing that's important to know about Karen, because you start hearing about someone who has a center for plant-based living and this is their thing, you worry that maybe they're like sanctimonious or, you know, they're just on a different plane than us mere mortals. But she actually admits she was kind of drug kicking and screaming to this.
You're right. She's not preachy.
No.
I just love that now you can go to a place like Small Batch. There's more and more plant-based items in more and more restaurants, so you can go out and follow doctor's orders, right, and still have a great meal. This is an ongoing thing, an evolving thing. And even me, George the Carnivore, had some experience years ago as a vegan for a moment.
Okay, I'm very curious because you teased this.
I did this for a 30-day period. And I watched this
30
movie.
30 days.
Yes and no. I watched a movie called Forks Over Knives. Have you ever heard of this movie?
I have, yes.
And it's a great movie. It's like change your diet or risk going under the knife. And it's very powerful. I watched this and I said, I'm in. I'm going to do this for 30 days. And just to see what all the hoopla was about. Well, after a week, I had more energy. After a month, all my numbers were down. My blood numbers were good. My blood pressure was down. Everything was like back.
Wow.
And so I did it for 90 days.
Oh, goodness.
And I lost some weight. And, you know, it was surprisingly easy. The food was
That's
surprisingly good.
About.
But again, doing what I do for a living, what we do for a living, it's impossible to keep that up. So I abandoned it, but I never forgot about it.
Well, and I think that's why we felt like it was important to do this episode. And we joked earlier that neither one of us is vegan. I think we're finding that it's no longer just a subculture or that it's a particular lifestyle, that it really is. You know, I think they talk about like vegan curious or, you know, then there's vegetarian. It's no longer, you know, you have to subscribe to a particular dietary style to do this, that it's available to everyone. The food's great.
And even if you jump into the pool by doing a fat-free Fridays or meatless Mondays, that's a good way to do it. That's a good way to start. And I'm a believer. I saw it. I saw the numbers. And you hear a lot of these folks that have been, you know, scared into this with a health scare, and all of a sudden their lives have changed. So I get the veganism thing.
I mean, that's wonderful. And I guess along those lines, you and I, even though we do eat meat, we have some favorite places that we love to go to. I mean, I think that's been really exciting over the last few years. Really, it's been several years that you've seen these wonderful places that just kind of appeal to a wide variety of diners open up around town. And we actually each have kind of a handful of places that we frequent, even though we choose to eat meat sometimes too.
We do. And what we tried to do, because there's so many, we tried to focus on vegan places or places that are mostly vegan, and not to throw shade at places like, you know, Black Market Eats and Revel Kitchen and Ucraft and the Pokey restaurants. But we'll get into this a little bit. Some are strictly vegan and some are kind of stretching the bounds a little bit. And that's what I find interesting.
Yeah. But for the most part, we wanted to only include places that were vegan or vegetarian, not just places that may have like a fun vegetarian or vegan dish on the menu, but places that really like this is their area of focus.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Even though moms can do it all, doesn't mean they should. This Mother's Day, let Butler's Pantry help you give mom the gift of relaxation by ordering a Mother's Day brunch collection for either pickup or delivery. With nearly six decades of catering and event experience in St. Louis, this family business has created countless memorable moments. Order now, and they'll deliver a celebration that gives mom the pampered experience she deserves. Customize your menu and place your Mother's Day brunch order at butlerspantry.com. Because every mom deserves to be celebrated in style.
And now, back to the show. So, what do you have on yours that you love?
One that I think is the most interesting, just because of the way it was conceived, was Small Batch.
Yes.
Down in Midtown Alley, it's called. Vegan food and whiskey are paired together.
Yeah.
It's like, who the heck came up with that
idea? Not a marriage that you would think would work.
No, it was the marriage of Dave and Kara Bailey that put that together. So there's over 100 whiskeys there. If you've been in it, it's on Automotive, the old Automotive Row. It's a two-story restaurant.
It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful. There's a mezzanine there. Again, they keep the automotive theme alive. There's a bunch of photos of the Bailey family, all of them posing by vintage cars. It's really cool. It's one of these places that you can go to before a Grand Center play or concert.
Which everyone's always asking, where do we go before the Fox?
And that's one that sometimes people forget about.
Yes.
And I say, you know, I don't care if you're a vegetarian or a vegan or a carnivore. There's things there that you like. There's a lion's mane mushroom cake, which is like a vegan take on a crab cake, which is delicious. The other item that I remember having there was beet hummus. So good. Anyway, there's just a whole host of goodies. And again, you pair them with whiskeys. They've got whiskey flights there. It's a great little restaurant. It's a restaurant that a lot of people don't forget about because they think it's vegan. And I don't know if I want to go there. Well, just go there.
I couldn't agree with you more about it. It's kind of one of my favorite places in that area, in that Grand Center area. I am going to add something to my list that is a little bit different, and that is Terror Tacos. Have you been to Terror Tacos? It's one of my favorite places just in general.
I think the city's only veggie taco stand or taco shop.
What I love about it is that the owners, it's two brothers, Brian and Bradley, they started eating vegan cuisine when they were in like the hardcore, like it was a, like I've talked about subculture, like it was a political statement for them, like back in the 90s. And they would want to eat vegan cuisine, but they'd always find themselves going to these like super hippie places that just didn't fit who they felt like as people. So they set up this like loud, in-your-face, irreverent taco stand. I mean, I'm talking like monster burritos as big as your face, you know, gooey. And when I say cheese, when I say meat, it is all vegan. Just think of like the most decadent, gooey nachos with like chorizo and, you know, queso all over them. That is one of my favorite. Like the vibe is so loud. It's irreverent. It's a powerful place, but man, this food is good. These burritos are the most craveable things you'll have, just overstuffed, as satisfying as it comes. So that is to the top of my list for sure.
And one of the places that I frequented a lot during my vegan time was Seeds over
in Des Moines.
And
yeah,
their sandwiches are so good. It's this charming little place. It kind of reminds you of a like a health food restaurant from years gone by, like back in the hippie days. And I mean that,
yes,
you know, in a positive way. They've got a Reuben with marinated roasted tempeh on it. They've got a smoked tempeh sandwich on sprouted bread, which is delicious. A great place. I think they have brunch there. They've got a nice outdoor area. So Seeds with a Z, it's a cool place that I think, again, everybody should try out.
They've been there for a while. They're not like jumping on a bandwagon. They've been doing it for a while. Kind of another place, I guess my second one that's on my list that has been there for a little bit as well is a Treehouse. And this is also on South Grand, Terror Tacos on South Grand. Treehouse, owned by Bay Tran. She's a chef. You know, she grew up in the restaurant industry. Her parents owned the Mekong and the Upstairs Lounge, you know, when those were things in the heart of like South Grand nightlife district and all of that. This is her restaurant, and they're open for lunch and dinner and also brunch. That is my favorite meal to have there. I think that, you know, when people are like, oh, I'm looking for a vegan brunch, or oh, I'm looking for brunch, it doesn't matter what they're looking for, it's always at the top of my list. They have a fantastic eggs benedict. They have these fried beets, chorizo scramble, Cuban sandwiches. It's up there on my list. Again, you're going to get these hearty, soulful dishes that just fill you so great.
The first thing I had there were beet fries.
Yes, those beet fries are
awesome. They still have them. On the other thing I had,
yes,
there was, I think it was a wild mushroom ravioli with cashew cream.
Ooh, now I have not had that.
Which is really good. But, you know, you're talking about vegan places, and then you're talking about eggs, and I think this is kind of what I was getting into.
Yeah.
All their food is prepared vegan.
Yes.
But you can get cheese, you know, real cheese or farm eggs if you want for a vegetarian.
Yeah. So this is one of those that teeters between vegan and vegetarian cuisine.
And a couple on my list go the same way.
Yes.
And I don't think that's a bad thing as long as people understand that once they, you know, when they're considering it.
Exactly.
Pizza Head.
Oh, I love Pizza Head. Yes.
Same kind of thing. All vegan, but they have mozzarella cheese available if you want it.
So what's your order at Pizza Head? I have to ask, because I have a very particular one.
I know there's one with spinach on it that I like.
That's my favorite. Spinach artichoke. Exactly. It's basically like spinach dip in pizza form. And it's so garlicky. They use, instead of like a red sauce, they use a garlic olive oil base.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's one of my favorite pizzas in town.
Well, and it's the only place in town that I know of that serves a 20-inch pizza.
Yes.
That is a humongous pizza, which is the perfect size, really. If you want a really nice slice of pizza, cut it from a 20-inch pie. So I think it's the only vegan pizza place in town. You've got Pizzioli, which is changed slightly. You've got Pie Guy, which has a really great vegan pizza, but it's not vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Scott Sandler, who opened these places, or opened Pizza Head and Pizzioli, he's doing pizza, I think it's called Pizza Via, in the Central West End come April. And it's interesting, even he said, you know, I'm going to start putting some meat on pizzas too, because I want to give people what they want.
And that reminds me of another one that, you know, I'm going to put you on the hot seat again, is Frida's in Station Number 3. That is a place that, you know, I feel like people are bending rules a little bit. You know, they're playing around. They use the words like flexitarian and stuff, which I know can be controversial in some sets. But I mean, tell me, love those places. I find them fun, especially Station Number 3 is just so nostalgic.
Frida's and Station Number 3 and Diego's are all owned by Natasha Kwan, Chef Natasha, and she's great. But yeah, ever since that Frida's reopened, they stretched the bounds a little bit. It became pescatarian in a sense. It had a few fish offerings, and that was by design. And I know they've got a lunch buffet. They just had one on Easter. They have one on Mother's Day that has, you know, plant-based food, vegetarian food, pescatarian food. So again, stretching the bounds a little bit. Same thing down at her other restaurant, Station Number 3. Everything is vegan except the two items that are flexitarian, she
right,
says.
Exactly.
So a flexitarian is basically someone that follows a vegan diet but allows for some protein every now and then.
Sure.
Which is what I'd like to be in my real life here.
Yeah.
But it's, again, what we do, it's really hard to
Yeah.
do. Her attitude there is she's doing this so everybody can sit at the same table. Everybody can come to Station 3. Like somebody said, I can bring my parents here now just because there are these flexitarian items, you know, on the menu. So, and interestingly enough, the best selling item there is their station burger, which is a vegan item, which is something that she makes, and they can't make them fast enough. It's also the biggest seller at Frida's. But the other thing that she makes there is burnt ends out of jackfruit, gluten, and chickpea protein.
Oh, wow. Now, I have not had her
burnt
ends.
Again, it sounds like alchemy, sounds like magic to me.
Yes.
But she fries it and then tosses that in barbecue sauce and then caramelizes it up in an overhead broiler. And she said people just love them. And she said the crazy part, here's the backstory there. She'd never had a burnt end in her life. She'd never had one, but she created one. She said, I'd only seen pictures and I created these vegan burnt ends. And people say, these are the best burnt ends. And
wow.
She said, are they really? Because I have no idea.
That's wonderful.
So, anyway, that's kind of fun. And at Diego's, again, that was not really a vegan restaurant. It was right next to Frida's. She thought it might cannibalize Frida's sales if they made it vegan. So they kind of backed off. And people were asking for vegan items. And so they added some and they added some more. Now a third of their sales at Diego's are vegan. They're kind of drifting back and forth here across the fence. She thought that it would affect it. But she said at the end of the day, if people want Mexican, they're going to eat Mexican. And if there's vegan food on the menu, that's even better because that's something a little bit different. So Diego's is going big time.
The one thing that characterizes what it means to eat vegan or vegetarian food in St. Louis now is that flexibility, but also that nostalgia. I feel like I love the seeds of the world. I love places that give you they show the beauty of all that can be done with vegetables. But then I go to Looking Meadow, which is number 3 on my list there. And I have biscuits and gravy that, as Natasha's burnt ends, people say are some of their favorite barbecue burnt ends that they've had. Looking Meadow's biscuits and gravy are up there on my list as far as my biscuits and gravy that I've had.
Whether it's meat or vegan.
I mean, it is a completely, fluffy biscuits, creamy gravy, hunks of, and again, vegan sausage. But the flavor, the texture, everything. She just nails it. They have a darling patio outside. They have just a sweet neighborhood coffee shop feel. Highly recommend their biscuits and gravy. Lots of pastries there as well. Lots of coffee drinks that are delicious. I've had some great coffees there.
A charming corner in Maple.
Yes, it's just beautiful. The lovely spot.
Another one of your places that I'll have to admit. So I'm all ears. Adina's vegan cuisine. I've never been there.
So
I didn't even know how to say the name.
Yeah,
so
Adina's
I hope I got
Vegan
it right.
Cuisine. It's a mother and daughter. They actually, they've been doing this for a long time. Do you remember the Golden Grocer?
Yes.
Yeah. So they actually got their start out of that. But it's a mother and daughter, and they wanted to do quintessential soul food, and they wanted to do it vegan. So that is this restaurant. Think delicious greens that they get the savory rather than meat. They get that depth with like smoked paprika and, those sorts of flavors. They do a vegan mac and cheese. They do peach cobbler. I haven't had them there, but I've seen every now and then they'll do like catfish nuggets, you know, cornmeal dusted, very classic style there. Just great soul food. And this is in Pagedale.
The catfish that isn't catfish.
That is not catfish. It's kind of like, you know, some of the, like, there's been a lot of vegan seafood lately. So I don't know what, like you said, alchemy doing
magic.
For it.
Magic.
Yeah. But you get the flavor. You get that sea flavor in it and a really good texture. This is in Carter Commons, which is a development. It's in Pagedale, that 24-1 Beyond Housing organization. They set up a food court there. And they have several different restaurants in there. It's on Page, and I forgot the cross street there. But
I think it's Ferguson. But
I think it is. You're right. Just a wonderful place. It's just fun and... You know, it's the kind of stick to your ribs, delicious food that is craveable.
It's fairly new.
Yes. Yes. I'd say it's been there about a year. So.
And one of your places is fairly old, Sweetheart.
Oh, yes. Sweet. You cannot talk about glorious vegan food in St. Louis without talking about Sweetheart, which Sweetheart's maybe one of those restaurants that you didn't have to be vegan to go there. It was more of a neighborhood gathering spot located in Shaw. You know, people in Shaw will tell you it is the bee's knees. And for good reason, Rain Keese, who's the owner of the restaurant, she kind of became known at first for doing vegan cupcakes and vegan baked goods and everything. Like, she had a Faustus before that was like a thing.
I remember. And it's
yes.
Like, you won't know this is vegan cupcakes.
Yes.
And it's true.
Yes. And it's really evolved into this delicious neighborhood cafe, totally vegan now. I don't believe it started out that way, but it has evolved over the years. I've had buffalo cauliflower there that's changed my life. It is so delicious, just so decadent and flavorful that you cannot have vegan cuisine in St. Louis without going to Sweetheart.
And apparently their mac and cheese is,
yes,
I haven't had it, but I've heard about it to the point that I know that I should get it there.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
The last place on my list is, if I get compliments, you know, recommending a vegan place, I get more about this place than any other place. And it's fairly new. It's called Plant Craft Kitchen.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, see, now I have not been there yet, and I've heard you talking about it.
This is Rachel Carr, who's a very talented chef. She had a meal service, a delivery meal service, right? And it was so successful that there's now a brick and mortar. So now she's got takeout and dine-in lunch and early dinner. I think it's 5 days a week, but there's a grab-and-go case that's stocked with goodies, too, that you can either, you know, heat up or freeze.
Mm.
The coolest thing about it is her delivery service. You order, I think, by Thursday. Then you can pick up on Sunday or have it delivered. She'll drop it off for $10 if it's within 15 miles. And if you order $75 worth, it's free.
Oh, wow. That's easy.
And again, you can take this stuff and eat it right then, put it in the refrigerator or put it in the freezer. Plant Craft Kitchen, and it's down in Sunset Hills, and it's just really good.
Oh, wow. I'll have to check it out for sure. Well, and one that we haven't yet talked about, which I know is very high up on both of our lists, is Vegan Deli and Butcher, which is a new-ish restaurant.
Opened in late 23.
Yep.
Stop on that name for a second. Vegan Deli and Butcher.
Butcher, exactly.
Which is just, everybody just said, wait a minute. So right off the bat, you've got people wondering what the heck's going
on. Yeah, crazy. And I think that's owner Chris Bertke, chef and owner. I think, you know, he likes to raise some eyebrows here and there. That's his shtick, and it's awesome. And
yeah, and he's a guy that's created all these vegan meats, created them. He doesn't just work with them. He has assembled them. He's a master chef, and I don't know any other vegan chefs that are really crafting all this. They're taking existing products. He's putting all kinds of crazy things together and doing so beautifully and so wonderfully that he's got this incredibly large following. And I told him, I said, you could do pop-ups for the rest of your life and never have to even open a restaurant. He, of course, didn't take my advice. He opened a restaurant anyway, and it's doing really, really well.
Yes.
And we're going to be talking with Chris Bertke in the next episode let's just say he's a colorful guy.
Yes, exactly.
He's got a lot to say, and he's fascinating. And he really is one of a kind in this town. So that's Chris Bertke, and that'll be on the next episode of Archie Eats. So we'll stay with the vegan theme for today's micro-rant. We're talking about plant-based diet, right? Which is self-explanatory, should be, right? But the problem is that phrase does not have a legal definition. I don't know if you knew that, and that's what's causing the problem. Just like all natural, doesn't have a legal definition, so people can use it any way they want. So it's subject to interpretation by companies and individuals alike. It's causing a lot of issues. So, you know, people associate plant-based with healthy things, even though they don't exactly know what that means. But the problem is there's now plant-based liquor, there's plant-based shampoo, there's plant-based cleaning wipes. Some Tide is now advertised as plant-based. So, you know, once
plant-based Tide, just don't eat the Tide pods like people were before, right?
It's like, come on. But, you know, once you start slapping that term around willy-nilly, it doesn't mean anything. So they've added it to a snack cracker, right? Which, again, think about it. It elevates the appeal of that cracker. People see that and think it's going to be healthier, even though it's always been plant-based. They're just slapping that thing on there.
It's like a rebranding.
They're just adding that tag.
They used to call it greenwashing when it came to like environmentally friendly sounding things. I wonder what they call it, plant washing?
It could be. Yeah, it's just a marketing ploy, and I wish they wouldn't do it, and companies are charging a premium for it. It's just rubbing me the wrong way, and I just hope that there'll be a clearer definition of the term that comes out, and that it'll properly reinforce the movement that it's supposed to support.
Absolutely.
That's it. I'm off my soapbox. Thank you for listening to Arch Eats. Be sure to follow us and share with your friends. And we always provide links in the show notes for everything you heard about today. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button and follow along on Instagram at St. Louis Mag. And feel free to give us a follow personally at George Mahey and Cheryl A. Bear.
If you loved what you heard, show us some love by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. And if you're hungry for even more content, you can subscribe to our dining newsletters for the freshest coverage on the local restaurant and culinary scene.
That's it for this week. Best dishes, and see you next time.